Welcome to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast with your hosts, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast. My name is Matt Wolf. I'm here with my partner, Mr. Joe Hustle Fear.
Good name. I don't know. I think I'm going to give that name to Christine, actually. Minus the Joe and the Fear, but we'll give you the hustle.
All right, efficiency. So we've got Christine McDaniel on the show today, and she actually runs a brick and mortar wellness spa called Eco Chateau. She's got two locations. She's got an online business, and she's probably the most marketing savvy, tech savvy sort of brick and mortar business owner that I know. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get some really, really good stuff from her about productivity and marketing strategy and how she's transferred some of her business to her online store and a lot of really, really cool stuff. So thanks so much for joining us today, Christine.
No, thank you. Wow, what a great intro. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go ahead and dive right in. Let's get some quick stats real quick, though, about your business. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, exactly what the business does, how many employees you have, just some of the vital information that some of the viewers might be interested in hearing about.
So Eco Chateau was started about 4.5 years ago, so September 2012. It is a wellness spa here in San Diego. We have a location in Mission Valley and one in Sorrento Valley. So we're trying to cover, you know, the central area of San Diego and the North County San Diego. Uh-huh. And I love it. I'm a serial entrepreneur. It's my 7th company in the last 13 years.
It's amazing.
I love being efficient. And when you're growing as fast as we're growing, you definitely have to be extremely efficient. So that's why I'm really excited to talk about this topic today with you guys. But Eco Chateau, the wellness services we offer, it would be like organic facials, massage, colon hydrotherapy, infrared saunas, and juice cleanses. Mm-hmm. So it's just a great one-stop facility for people to get, you know, to continue their journey of health and wellness.
And you still get 8 hours of sleep per night.
I sure do. That's amazing. Like, I would like 9 or 10 even, but on the weekends sometimes I could do that.
And you've got a podcast as well, right? Don't you have a wellness focused podcast?
Oh yeah, thanks Matt for bringing that up. Yeah, we have the Health and Happiness Hacks Wellness Show. So if they search on, and they can even search Eco Chateau on YouTube, and they'll find the show. It's a weekly wellness show. Every episode comes out Wednesdays. It's like a Wellness Wednesdays. And today was the 9th week of that. And Joe was on, we actually recorded with Joe over this past weekend. Mm-hmm. So his episode will come out next month, which I'm really excited about. Joe did such an awesome job.
That was fun.
Oh my gosh, it was a blast. That was awesome. So yeah, we do have an online wellness show. It's also on iTunes also. So again, that's the Health and Happiness Hacks Wellness Show.
Awesome. Right on. Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, let's just crack right into this thing because you could do so much. And so we've known you for probably, what, 5, probably 6 years, as long as we've known Henry, who was on a previous episode, Henry Evans, in a local marketing group. So ever since then, I think the first thing that really stuck out to me was how you track your time and how efficient you are with kind of knowing exactly what you do throughout the day, but also the time that you've allotted for it or that you spent at it on it. And then how you can kind of, create a system out of that later on. You want to kind of dive into that whole process that you use?
No, it's so funny. And Henry Evans is the guy who told me to do this like
that's true.
7 years ago. He's like, Christine, just write, like, I challenge you to write what you're working on a piece of paper. Every 15 minutes, you need to physically write. You know, I'm a very kinesthetic learner. So it's like if I'm physically writing something versus typing it, it actually helps. Mm-hmm. So I just got a colored legal pad. And that's really important. So like mine this time around, I think it's purple for these couple months. And then I'll switch it up to pink or yellow. Like it has to be a bright
color. Okay.
Pad. Uh-huh. Yeah, because it'll get buried in your paperwork on your desk, right?
So just probably not the plain old yellow even. Yeah, just go crazy with it.
Yeah, and just go. So, you know, I started every 15 minutes. I wrote down what I was working on. You know, 7 a.m. to 7:15, I'm working on this. 7:15 to 7:30. You know, that, you know, again, this was like 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I've kind of like the process has grown. Well, actually, sorry, I've been doing this consistently for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I took like 6 months off while I was launching the spa because that was chaos and there's no way. I was working in the business, not on it. Right. You know, helping clients and stuff. You can't write down every little thing you do. But back when I got, you know, to an office and a desk where I could work on the business, that's where this time tracking works the best. Mm. So yeah, I just, now I just write when I switch gears. So like what, you know, I'd write 7 a.m. to 7:10 a.m., you know, updating daily goal, you know, 7:10 to 7:30, you know, I'm responding to emails. So it's literally anytime I switch to a new project, whether it be a phone call, a team member walks into my office to chat, I'm literally writing down like, okay, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., chatted with Sherry.
Wow.
Just very vague, very fast. It's sloppy. I mean, I'm happy to, you know, I know we talked before the show. I'm going to take a picture and you guys can put it in the show notes so people can literally see how I do it. I will, on the top, I'll kind of put my top things that I need to get done for the day. And once I do them, I cross them off.
So that's interesting. Yeah. So I guess two things. I'm just going to throw the questions out there and you can kind of attack them as you wish. But so how do you make your to-do list each day? And then the second question, I know it might be a loaded question. Okay. Second thing is how do you remind yourself to do this and kind of get into the habit of actually keeping up with this every day?
So it is a habit that has to be formed. So, and I tell everybody this, that, you know, Henry challenged me to do it for at least 21 days. On average, it takes 21 days. I mean, I know there's different rules of thumb, but I mean, I kind of go by like 21 day rule of creating a habit. If you could do something every single day for 21 days, you make that, you know, then I have a habit, then it gets more comfortable.
Yeah.
Those three weeks were horrible. I hated every second of it. I go, this is so stupid. I don't understand the point of me writing down everything I'm working on. This is dumb. And then it wasn't until like 3 or 4 weeks. Now I literally cannot start my day. Like, let's say I pop into Starbucks and I don't have my legal pad. I'll like grab a napkin and I'll like start writing what I'm working on like 7 a.m. to this time.
You she know? Sounds it's like
just
me.
I'm such a spaz about it. So that's how I established the habit. I literally cannot work a day without doing it now because I've been doing it for years.
Right.
And it just keeps me on point. It keeps me like effective and working on the right things. That's the trick too, everybody listening, is you're physically writing out, you know, oh, it was on Facebook. I mean, the second you're writing that on a piece of paper, your brain registers like, what the heck am I doing looking at Facebook right now?
Like, that's interesting.
Goofing around during the middle of a work day.
Yeah. You don't want to have to go back to your paper where you're reporting everything you've done today and played on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And again, it brings it to your attention once you're writing the time and you're like, oh my God, I just wasted 20 minutes. So again, if it's a break, you know, I definitely take breaks. I take a lunch break at my desk. Then that's different. You know, I'll put the word break and you guys will see it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll even sometimes write ate lunch or watched, you know, informative YouTube videos or I was on Facebook. Like I'll put that next to the word break. Again, it's just kind of tracking what I got done during the day. At the end of the day, I can then reflect back, like, did I just spin my wheels or did I, like, how much stuff did I really get movement on? How effective was I? Now, back to Joe's first question, my to-do list. I mean, entrepreneurs have like a million things to do. We all know that.
Yeah.
The to-do list will never be done. It will never be finished. So luckily, I'm good about like on the top, I'm good about writing like what has to be done today. Like has to get done. But then as I'm going through the day, I think of other things I need to do. And then I write those at the top too. Mm. And then it gets chaotic. And then the next day I have to cross off what I did and then move what I didn't do onto the next day.
Got it. Yeah. Cause I'm just thinking totally selfishly, like I'm the type and see Matt's totally different. So this is what's interesting is that I did it this morning. I'll just kind of try to empty my mind with so many, anything I can think of. And a lot of them are just ideas that are not to do's, you know, but then when it comes to, okay, let's extract, well, let's prioritize these in a way and set deadlines. So do you kind of set deadlines where I'm sure most of them are self-imposed, but I'm sure there's hard deadlines you just can't miss too.
For sure. So that's going to lead to Trello. And I know we're going to talk about Trello in this podcast, which I'm so excited about. It's my favorite tool ever. So let's say, because there are sheets and I'm looking through, I have a whole stack of them right now in front of me. There's sheets where there's the same to-do item on like 7 days in a row.
Right. Like, that would be
like,
me.
Okay, like I'm not getting it done. I need to then put it into either Google Calendar and block time and schedule it. Or I need to just throw it onto Trello. So at least it's somewhere And then just get to it when I get to it. Because obviously if 7 days have gone by and I haven't even started it, then it's obviously not a priority.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Well, do you want to transition to Trello? I think it'd be a good time.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about this stuff.
So okay. Explain that, I guess.
Stuff, I can't believe Trello is free. Hopefully they're not listening. Because the amount of stuff we're running through it is not even funny. I mean, it literally, other than Mindbody Online, which runs all the scheduling, the payment processing, Mindbody runs my entire spa. The second piece of software is Trello that literally runs my entire company, you know, all 15 of our admin and front desk and managers are on there. The therapists are not, they don't have access to our Trello boards, but you know, you got 15 employees that do, and we're always, always on there. So Trello is just a project management software. It's free. You can go to Trello.com. Actually, they just recently got bought out, which I was excited to hear.
I heard that. That
means they'll take it to the next level. I was so afraid they'd shut down because it was still a free version. I was like, oh my gosh, I just hope they get funding.
Yeah. So, surprisingly, they had to shut down because they had problems making money being a free tool.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So they almost got shut down, but then got bought out. So.
Thank God.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So, so we've used it for 2 years, 2 years now, two or three, maybe even three. I'm trying to remember. And it just, it literally, it's our goals, like my favorite board. So there's just different boards within Trello. And then on each board, there's cards and you just list and you can tag team members, you know, and then you can tag all that. You can put at like the at symbol board and everybody gets a notification. Their app on the phones are really user friendly. So if I'm out and about, I could throw it on Trello off of my phone versus the desktop version. It's just so user-friendly.
Yeah.
And I know there's Asana, and I know there's Basecamp, and there's a lot of other ones that people like, but it's like, this one's just so user-friendly that even somebody that's not very computer literate can jump on and learn it really fast.
So would you say that's why you mainly chose Trello over something like Asana? Or Basecamp?
Yes, that's the number one reason, because it wasn't overcomplicated.
Yeah, because we're, oh my God, because Asana, I used to use that in a previous business. It's just lists upon lists upon lists, but you have to get in that habit to use it. Mm-hmm. Things can get buried. It gets complicated. Like you said, like you have to dig for a comment that you put on there for, or some team member. But I know they recently introduced a Trello-like system. But yeah, Matt and I are literally at a point in our business right now where like, okay, we need to start really leveraging a lot of project management tools.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's Trello, we might go that route now.
Well, they're called Kanban boards, or Kanban, K-A-N-B-A-N, right? Mm-hmm. And Trello was the first one to release it as a software, and then sort of everybody else saw, oh, that's kind of cool, and added it into their system, including Asana.
Yeah. But Trello, I mean, just it... Because I have used it before in email, I think writing emails and like a whole project and then just moving the cards around. And it was like, oh, my God, this is so easy. And everything got done fast. Mm-hmm. So how, Christine, how would be the easiest way to get started with something like Trello for someone that just doesn't have anything in there, just needs to get something organized?
I know, and we've built it. Ours is so huge right now, just with all the stuff, the system, you know, all the systems. We can link it, integrates. They have these power up tools where it integrates now with like Google Drive. So you can pull stuff off there. You can put attachments, you can put photos. I mean, to start, just start with their own board. So that's where I started. You know, my first board is called Christine's List. And at each card, it's like, okay, here's my to-dos. Here's what I'm currently another card next to it would be, here's what I'm currently working on. And the third card would be, here's what's done. Mm. And you just click and drag and drop, you know, you just drop each item and you could drag it over once you're finished with it. We have a goals, the board I'm on the most is the goals board. Mm-hmm. And we literally break down, so it's kind of interesting for your listeners. We not only break down our monthly goal, we break it down weekly, we break it down daily, and we break it down with three times a day.
Wow.
And everybody sees it. They literally see as of 6:30 a.m., here's how much revenue we brought in. Here's our daily goal. It's constantly adjusted based on the day, right? So it's March 22nd. We're going to figure out, okay, how much money did we bring in already this month minus what we have left to hit our monthly goal. And so it's self-adjusted per day. I mean, that's how dialed in our goal setting is here in the company. It's insane. So all the girls can just see, okay, this is how much more we need to hit before we close at 9 p.m. tonight. just to hit the goal. So that's the board I'm on the most.
How do you guys come up with those goals? Is it a team thing? Do you set them or do they?
I set them.
You do.
I set them. It's based on year prior, which it's funny. That's a new way of thinking. It's a bad way of thinking. I've done it for all 13 years of being an entrepreneur. You should never base something on the past necessarily. You should base it on your future goal. Mm-hmm. So you need to set a goal and work backwards, reverse engineer it. Not, you know, and this is a great consultant taught me this last year. He's like, Christine, you keep basing it off a year prior because it's comfortable. Mm. I'm like, okay, well, I want 50% growth over year prior. He's like, but the past is the past. Why don't you set a bigger goal and work backwards from that and just make it happen?
Totally.
And that's what we did, started doing this year, and it's working. So I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Why didn't I learn this 13 years ago?
Interesting. So with the future goals then, did you just, so how did you set those goals? Did you have a process to that?
I mean, I don't want with a brick and mortar, you can't, if you grow too fast, it can cause a lot of problems, right? Because you got to be comfortable staffing up that fast, training that staff, keeping your reputation. You know, my reputation for Eco Chateau, like our Yelp reviews, all that is like number one priority to me. Mm. Like I will slow down the growth if things start falling apart or if we get a bad, if we start getting complaints more than we normally do, and we're actually pretty good. We have great reviews. So it's rare we get a complaint. But totally. If I see a couple extra ones floating in, I'm like, uh-oh, I could just tell we're growing too fast. Or we're running out of laundry. We're running out of supplies. Or my staff's getting more stressed out. Then I kind of turn down the marketing lever. Because I'm like, okay, whoa, this is a little too much. So yeah, my future goal, you know, the goal for this year is just a more aggressive goal than I've had in the past of, you know, how fast I'm going to grow this thing.
Got it. That's interesting. You said that whole thing about the turning down the marketing because the CrossFit gym, the one that we were talking about, the one I go to, they're kind of experiencing that same exact issue. It's almost like they're maxing out, you know, or they're bringing in too many people. I'm like, oh man, the marketing's too good. You guys are too good, you know, that you actually have to scale down. It's crazy.
Good. Hey, but when you're good at marketing, it's really cool. It's literally like a faucet. You know, that's what I tell my team, my management team. I go, I love it. I go, I'm turning the faucet off. Yeah. So that's all I have to say. And they know what I mean. They know, like, I'm turning down this marketing. I'm not going to throw a bunch of marketing dollars and, like, things are just getting chaotic. You know, growing fast is a really good problem to have. And we're so fortunate. I never want to complain about that. But yeah, when the customer service starts sliding because of it, then it's not worth it. So it's like, okay, I'm turning down the faucet, you guys. Not turning it off. We're turning it down the marketing faucet.
That's a good nugget. So definitely.
I actually want to touch on marketing strategies in a second because I want to hear for a minute about how you actually turn on the faucet because I think a lot of people would be interested in that topic. But before we go there, I actually want to touch on Trello again and just some of the technology there because I'm trying to figure out how we can actually use it in our business. So this question is kind of a selfish question, but so
we could do that.
We can do that if we want. It's our podcast. With Trello, can you do like recurring things? Like, for instance, we've got this podcast, and every time a new podcast goes live, we have a set of like 10 tasks that have to happen when a podcast goes live. Is Trello good for those sort of recurring things that keep on popping up?
Yes. So I'm popping over to Maya's board. She's our spa director. I know she has an actual card called, I'm trying to find it. I know it's like, because she has these weekly tasks, things she has to do every single week, like payroll, for instance. Here we go. She titled her car. So again, she has a big board. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard to do this on a podcast because it's not visual, but big board and each individual card. This one individual card is called ongoing projects / duties. She's got daily report as one little card on that big card. She's got payroll because that's once a week. She's got supply ordering. That's once a week. She's got month end and our KPI report. That's a monthly thing. So she did it that way. Okay. Does this integrate with a calendar system? Honestly, we haven't connected it yet. I think there is a way to put it with Google Calendar. We haven't played around with it yet. Trello has their own calendar system, I just found out. Our third piece of software that we use the most, other than the two I mentioned, is Google Calendar. Mm-hmm. So all my front desk team, all my managers, all their schedules are done through Google Calendar. Mm-hmm. So then we can use that. You know, if it's a weekly recurring thing, we might put on Google Calendar instead of just Trello.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, I think I'm sold on Trello. I'm just looking at their website and it like integrates to all of our Slack. We use Slack for our communications and buckets for projects.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Slack so, plugs into it. I just don't, I think our girl, I think we get crazy chatting back and forth.
Yeah.
We have 30 women here. So I don't want any chat, any sort of chat plug in because Slack does that, right?
You can just kind
of
totally. Chat.
Yeah, for sure. So with the marketing of your business, I think a lot of people would be interested in how you kind of turn on and turn off that marketing faucet. Because I think a lot of people hear that and go, ooh, that's a really good problem to have. I want to know how to turn that faucet off to the point where I have to turn it off again.
Okay. No, right. Okay. I can tell you exactly how to do it because I've been playing around. You know, it's fun once you get established, you know, when I do startups, I do them from scratch. So it's just like, you can't even afford to market. You're doing like grassroots little stuff.
Yeah.
Now we finally have this great marketing budget and we have the systems in place. And I know, you know, I could get a 5-to-1 return on a lot of different marketing channels. So then I'll crank them up. You know, I know which ones work better than the others. You know, I know my top three. That's something you guys are going to learn over time, depending on, you know, how new your business is, you know, for the people listening. No, the really easy way now for me is, you know, knowing that my top three sources for my business are Groupon, Yelp, and Google. Knowing that those are my top three out of 36 different channels, like those are the three I'm going to turn up first. So my Google AdWords guy, you know, he's incredible. So I reached out to him earlier in the March 1st. I said, let's double the budget. I go, we really want to take this to the next level. We finally have the staff in place, have the management team in place. Like my monthly Google AdWords budget, which mine's not a lot. Mine's pretty insignificant to most people. I hear people spending like $30,000 a month.
Hey, you don't have to. Hey,
let's
just
double it, you know, and let's see what happens. Because it's performing really, really well. And if we double it, it's going to perform even better. Same with Yelp. I literally just doubled. We spent a lot on Yelp advertising and it works. I know most business owners hate Yelp, but it actually works really well if you know how to use it right. Mm-hmm. So we kicked that up, you know, I think almost double.
Now, how do you know if somebody came in as a result of Google or as a result of Yelp, et cetera?
You cannot put a client into my system. My girls cannot even book a client. My system won't let them put them in without the referral source. I literally coded it that way.
There's so a
setting
smart.
On Mindbody. Yeah, they won't. It won't let them. It'll say you must put marketing source. Is website a marketing source? Absolutely not.
Got it.
I don't want, because how did they get to the website?
Right.
So every penny in every business I've ever made, I know exactly where it came from.
That's awesome. That's,
as a marketer, that you have to track that stuff.
So somebody calls in and says, I'd like to make an appointment. And they say, okay, how did you hear about us? And they have to enter that into the system before that appointment can even be made.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
That's like direct response marketing, even if it isn't. Totally direct, but you know, you're getting that information at
so
the
since,
end of the day.
Since you know your numbers so well, would you say that those are your top drivers to the store are Google and Yelp?
Google, Yelp, and Groupon.
And Groupon.
Again, Groupon's another one business owners hate, but you got to know how to use it right. I get everybody that comes in on Groupon, I actually get paid for them to walk in the door versus a client acquisition cost.
Totally.
You know, it's like I've just picked a profitable item that I know we'll still make a profit even after we discount it with Groupon and even after they take their split.
So this is, I've always actually wondered this, is what got you into the whole spa niche anyway? Because I know nothing. what got you into there?
No, I'm such a weirdo. I always think of these businesses. I'm like, why isn't this kind of a business around?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and then I research it and I can't find one. And so I kind of build them for myself. Kind of like how you guys said earlier, it's almost like selfish reasons.
Sure.
You know, I was getting colon hydrotherapy done somewhere else here in San Diego years ago. And it was a very clinical setting. It was dated. It wasn't luxurious. And I'm like, in my head, you know, my friend had a colon hydrotherapy spa in LA, a really good friend of mine. And in my head, I was like, well, why couldn't you put this in a luxurious spa setting? And why couldn't you put infrared saunas and all these other wellness, you know, 5 years ago, wellness wasn't so like, I just love how more mainstream it's becoming nowadays. So I think our timing was really good. But yeah, I just think of these weird concepts in my head. And then I'm like, well, nobody else is doing it. So I guess I have to do it.
I think those are the best business ideas. You find a gap, but if your interests are in there, if you want it yourself, then it's a win.
Yeah.
Even if you just break even on it.
So but was I ever, I have zero, zero spa background. I mean, I didn't even know how to spell the word esthetician. Like when I opened the spa, I don't know.
That's what I thought. Gosh. That's what I was interested in asking. I was like, I don't think she was ever in that industry before. Like when I first met you.
Never. No, but I just saw this need and I thought, you know, I just thought, hey, let me do it. I just, all my businesses have been so unrelated and different. Like, I think I just love the challenge and I just love creating things from scratch. So
it's your first brick and mortar too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I know. Yeah, this one is actually, same with retail. I never touched retail before. And so that's been fun to kind of learn retail.
There you go.
So yeah, it's just that learning, just the experience. Okay. So I tell everybody this, if you're a good marketer, you can own any kind of business you want.
Like 100% on board with that.
I was just thinking the same thing. I'm like, you started as a marketer. And I think that's the most valuable skill you can have.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. Copywriting is number two.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
I mean, that's why we did the agency model for so long, was we felt we can go into any business and improve it just through marketing.
Mm-hmm. Just tiny tweaks.
Tiny hinges,
swing big doors.
So that's a great talent. So that's the best part. Yeah. Because I mean, first and foremost, other than being an entrepreneur, I'm a marketer. Like that's just like, I love it and I'm passionate about it. And if I can use that skill to bring amazing services and products into the marketplace, then that's even better. Yeah. You know, all my businesses, the common theme, the only theme they all have between each other is every single one of them had like an eco-friendly environmental background, just because that's just a passion of mine growing up in Southern California. So that's common. But other than that, yeah, I mean, just the marketing is kind of secret sauce.
So you're still doing the, it just actually came to me, that Christmas tree where you do the elves.
I sold it over a year ago. I had it for 10 years. That was a hard one to sell for me.
So quickly, just in a, like a 30-second blip, just say what that was, because I think it's a creative idea.
Adopt a Christmas Tree is where we adopt out living potted Christmas trees here in San Diego County. And it was delivered with singing, dancing elves. They did a cute song and dance. And the great thing is you decorate it and you treat it just like a regular Christmas tree. But you water it. So then after the holidays, we would come pick it up and free of charge, we'd actually donate them to East County, San Diego and get them replanted. 32 million trees get cut every single year in the U.S. just to decorate and then end up on a curb outside of your house after the holiday. And it was just devastating. And so, actually a good friend of mine bought the business from me. So it's still going and, you know, I do miss it. Like sometimes I think about it. I mean, it had tons of media and it was just such a great cause, but it was so much for me to have two spa locations and that company all running simultaneously. It was insane.
Yeah.
Like,
well, maybe I don't know how I did it all those years.
So yeah, finally I was just like, oh my God, this is too much.
There's kind of one last topic I want to touch on really quickly before we wrap up here. And that's that you actually do have an online component to your Eco Chateau business as well, right?
Yes, it's the Eco Chateau Boutique. I launched that about a year and a half ago, almost.
Uh-huh.
Shopify, we use Shopify. That's an incredible user-friendly platform. I'm really happy with it. Other than them getting a little strict about the credit card processing lately, because we do have supplements on there and I guess they're cracking down on that, which is interesting. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I set it all up. I had a professional photographer out, put product up. It's a great way because we need to reach people outside of San Diego and we needed to automate some of our retail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no staff involved, obviously, when you're dealing with an online platform like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was helpful.
So when somebody orders it from your website, is it just stuff that's in stock at your one of your facilities and somebody at your place boxes it up and ships it? Or is it like drop shipping from somewhere else? How does that whole process work?
It's drop shipping, which is like pivotal for the listener, for people listening. Like, I think that's the way to go. When you're shipping physical product yourself, it can be really difficult. No, it's drop shipped from our main skincare provider. They're based out of Idaho. So the order just goes through Shopify. Like, it's all automated. They get an email immediately. They drop ship it straight to the customer.
Got it. Now, when you're driving traffic to the Shopify store, how are people finding the Shopify store? Is that also through Google Ads, et cetera?
Oh gosh, that's embarrassing to answer this question because I haven't even really turned the marketing on at all for that.
It's all right.
You know what I mean? Well, the first couple months you want to work out all the bugs. So there was times where the fulfillment center wasn't getting the order and then the client would reach out. So I go, okay, let's work this out before even turning on any marketing, because otherwise it's just going to make this worse. Let's really make it seamless. And then now I'm like, yeah, it's been on my to-do list forever. Like, okay, Christine, start focusing back onto the online e-commerce store.
Right.
But we don't make, you know, we make a lot more in services. You know, it's my priority to get my therapist busy at the spas. So I've just been, the team's been focusing more on that versus this online stuff. That was kind of like my weekend project.
I like it. I mean, I'm just kind of browsing through your store right now. It's simple, but I know Shopify is fairly simple to get up and, I mean, your pictures look beautiful. I could see once you do start to market it, it's going to do well.
Yeah, yeah. Again, that was another sort of selfish question. I run a Shopify store with my wife that we're trying to ramp up, but we're probably in the same boat. I think we've made 3 or 4 sales on our Shopify store ever. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, I mean, we've done it. And it's cute because our clients move out of the area. And so it's cute. I see them putting orders a lot.
Perfect.
Because yeah, now they can still get the skincare product that we sell on the shelves at our locations. They can now just order it online. And so that's been huge. And then we don't have to have all these products on our shelf. Mm-hmm. Like we just have the more popular ones on our shelf, but they can get all the product line. There's like 96 different options.
Hmm. Wow.
Cool.
Nice.
Do we have any sort of like wrap up questions, Joe?
Yeah. So I think the book question. So what's one book that you feel is just kind of like a have to read, or it's just your favorite reader, maybe read it multiple times per year or something like that?
Doesn't have to be one book either.
That's true.
I have so many.
First one that comes to mind.
This is the same question I ask on my show, and all my guests are always like, I have more than one.
Right.
Yeah.
I broke the rules. You can break the rules.
I think anything. I mean, Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Workweek, that book changed my life without a doubt. That's my number one always. But anything by Gary Vaynerchuk, that's awesome for social media and just working really hard. And all his books, Crush It, like I read that.
Crush It's good.
So those would be my biggest ones. There's so many I love to read. So yeah, those would be my go-tos. But the 4-Hour Workweek is one where, yeah, it changed everything on how I ran a business and efficiency.
Got it.
Ferriss is like the king at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's one question that we always like to ask as well, and this might be, this is an interesting question. Is there any questions that we haven't asked you that we should ask, or that, you know, you wish most people would ask?
Tricky,
that's
tricky.
The funniest question I've ever heard. Oh my gosh, I can't think of any. You guys ask like great questions. No, there's none I can think of. There's something else.
How about this? We nailed it. We went everywhere.
How do you be a badass and ride motorcycles and cars? Because I know you do that too.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Yeah, so that's my, you know, a lot of people already know I'm really into motorcycle riding, racing. I do the canyons every weekend, or I'm at the track.
Wow.
I just love adrenaline. I love being in that mindful. It's actually the only hobby that I can be completely 100% mindful in what I'm doing at the time, right? Like if you're shifting and you're racing and you've got something in front of you and behind you, and you're cornering and you're leaning a bike and you're going 80 miles an hour in a turn and you don't know what's on the other side, like you're really not thinking about business. I'll tell you that right now.
That's cool.
It's the only hobby of mine. Because running, when I run, all I'm doing is thinking about business. But yeah, when I'm on my motorcycle, there is no room to think about anything else. That's probably why I really love it. So yeah, that's my number one.
I love it.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, then final question. Where would you like to send people after listening to this? Where should they go to check out more about you?
Yeah, they can Google Eco Chateau. They can see all about the spa, especially if they're here in San Diego. I'm sure you have a lot of listeners out of the area. Mm-hmm. They can connect with me on LinkedIn. That'd be awesome. So that's probably it.
Christine McDaniel.
Cool. And yeah, then is there a URL for the podcast?
It's just, like I said, you just type in, so I don't have a website for it, but they can either go to YouTube and or iTunes and type in the Health and Happiness Hacks Wellness Show.
Got it. Very cool.
Love it. Thank you, Christine. This has been
thanks
amazing.
For having you guys. This was fun.
Yeah. All awesome. Right. We got to go sign up for Trello now. We're on it.
Yes. Get Trello.
All right. You guys. Thanks so much.
See ya.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Now, if you don't know already, myself and my partner, Joe Fear, every single week, we put together this killer weekly newsletter that's completely free. If you go to theweeklyprofit.com, you can get on this weekly newsletter. And what we do with this newsletter is we scour the internet. We read every piece of content, listen to blog posts, check out new software and tools. And we distill down the best of the best into a weekly newsletter and deliver it directly to your inbox every single week. So head over to theweeklyprofit.com and make sure you're signed up to receive that weekly newsletter. You're going to love it. Thanks so much again for listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. We'll see you in the next one.